Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Cy Brown. I'm actually calling in today from my cell phone to do the show. Y'all know how that goes sometimes. I'm just kind of here one day, here another day. You know, that's just how we do the show sometimes. But it's all good. Let me check the calendar. What's today's date? Today is already Monday, September 8th. Is it me or is time just like zooming on by? Before we know it, we'll have the election. And most of y'all know I'm on another radio show, The Power of Gospel. And last night we talked about this whole Palin and the mommy duties and if it was Barack and if it was all of that other stuff. And it was a really, really good show. I mean, last night's show, if you can, just log www.thepowerofgospel.com, and you will see that we had a really bang-up show. But anyway, the point is we talked about Sarah Palin, her roles as a mother, and she does have a child with Down syndrome. So, like, if it came time that we had to go to war or something like that, and her kid had to get picked up from the hospital or school or something, like, where does her responsibility lie? And I think we all came to the general that if, in fact, you put your hand on that Bible and you take that oath, that you're kind of bound by the obligations of the government versus your family. So we just had a really, really, really good conversation last night. So, you know, for those of you in the New York City area, if you can, definitely log on to thepowerofgospel.com. And the show is co-hosted by Nicole Simpson, who is just an amazing financial planner, and Pamela Long of the group Total, who used to be the lead singer from the group Total, who's my buddy. We always have a really, really good time. But anyway, so that's The Power of Gospel, and that was last night. So that was that. Well, today, you know, it's such a treat because today I have my husband joining me on the show, and we are going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff, but mainly we're going to talk about politics, men, money, and married life. And I'm hoping that he just joins me on the show at least once a week. We haven't gotten that far yet, but I'm really kind of hoping that's the case. So we're just going to keep kind of pushing along because I would love to have him on the air. And I would love to have everybody see how amazing he is and see what I see every day. And I also just think it's really important for people to see positive black men. And like, everybody ain't thugging it out, and everybody's not, oh, that's my nigga from the block. You know, all black families are not like that, and we are definitely not the Huxtables or the Obamas. But, you know, we're just like a family raising kids, doing what we do. And, you know, I'm such a, out in the open person. I don't know. I'm getting tongue-tied. What's that word? Like a public person, I guess, because of the show and because I'm always hosting events and stuff like that. So he always kind of plays it in the back, and so I just think it's really good for people to start seeing who he is. So I'm really, really proud. Before we kind of move into today's show, you know, I'm holding the cover up so everybody who's seeing me on YouTube, because this is being recorded, I want to jump right into our Daily Thoughts from the Hill, and it comes from Hillside Chapel and Truth Center in Atlanta, where Dr. Barbara King is the founder and minister. And Hillside is just like a cool place. They're not going to shove God down your throat and just kind of let you know that all things work together for the good. So it's just a really good church. But anyway, they have this book called Daily Thoughts from the Hill. And so I'm going to get into our daily thought for today. And today's daily thought is, I circulate my good. The law of circulation teaches us not to hoard our good, but to circulate it in the universe so others may benefit. Hoarding is like an indication that we do not have faith in God, that God will take care of our needs. When we hoard, no one benefits. Dr. Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science, writes, and I quote, "When the law of circulation is retarded, stagnation results. It is only when we allow the divine current to flow through us in and out that we really express life. The law of giving and receiving is definite." It is, end quote. It is important to circulate frequently that we have been given so all can benefit. I circulate my good by sharing with others cheerfully and freely. I share a smile, a compliment, my resources, my money, my time, and my talent. My good returns to be blessed and multiplied. Giving cheerfully, I affirm that there is no lack or limitation in my life. I give because the universe has blessed me to have more than enough. Thank you, God, in me, as me, and so it is. And today's scripture comes from the book of the 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. So let every man give according to what he has decided in his mind, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Well, you know something, I'm not going to get into anything controversial, but I love this scripture because that kind of bucks that whole tithing argument, which, you know, a lot of churches do and a lot of churches mandate for membership. But, you know, the scripture does say specifically what he has decided in his mind. So, you know, that's just a conversation for another show. But anyway, I just want to jump right in. I'm so happy. You could probably hear it in my voice to have my husband on the show. We're just going to jump right into today's show. I just want to tell everybody thank you for listening. Thank you for watching on YouTube. Oh, really quickly, the chat room is open. I've opened up the chat room, so hit us up in the chat room. And also, if you miss today's show, you can download it from Life Remix Radio. You can download all of our past shows on Life Remix Radio, so you can just kind of listen to it, and you can also listen to it on iTunes. So, you know, happy Monday, everybody, and thanks for joining me. Son, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, wait a minute. I think I forgot to, you know what? Y'all know I'm bugging. He's sitting right here with me in the studio, but I think I forgot to turn his mic on. Son, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. How are you, sweetheart?
Doing fine, baby.
Y'all, you know I'm just so silly. Well, okay, let me set the stage for what happened and why he's joining us on the air today. First of all, it's back to school time, and y'all know it's back to school time, and my son wanted these sneakers that he just had to have. So after begging, you know, we finally relented. I'm not going to tell you how much they were, but we finally relented and said we're going to get them. So on Saturday, which was 2 days ago, my husband takes my son to Foot Locker, because I will say it by name, took him to Foot Locker, and they went right when the store opens, because, you know, when you get old, you just want to take your kids, do what you have to do, and get out. So they went into Foot Locker, and I was home working in my house, and they come in the house, and they're like, yelling and screaming, and I'm like, what happened? Like, what in the world just happened? And my son went in his room and slammed his door, a little bit of a tantrum, but anyway, he went in the room, slammed his door, and I'm like, okay, did he get the sneakers? Did he not? And this is what my husband said, so I'm setting this up so we can bring him right on into the conversation, and then we're going to talk about a whole bunch of other stuff. But he said that he went into the store, asked the lady for the particular size, she went and got the size, my son tried it on, and it was a little too tight. So my son turned to her and was like, excuse me. But the sales girl was talking to two other people who worked there. It was right when they opened at 10 o'clock in the morning, and there was no one else in the store. So what my husband did, as I understand it, and we're going to hear from him in a minute, that he walked out. My son is now pissed because he's walking out without the sneakers, and they beef on the way home, and then that's when I pick up the story. Son, can you just tell us why you walked out the store on Saturday?
Well, I'm a working man, and when I work and I spend my money, I need service. And when I don't get service, I get upset. I don't know if it's a black thing that they see in us that we're not supposed to have service, but that's the way I live. If I'm buying something, I'm spending my money, I want somebody to help me out. Well, anyway, we went into the store, like my wife had said, and to buy a pair of sneakers for my son. He asked the salesperson three times, excuse me, and she never responded. So the person who I am, I told my son, leave the sneakers there and let's go. My son looked at me like I was crazy. He said, what are you doing, Pop? What's going on? I said, when you don't get service and you're paying for something, you leave it there. I said, if you leave it there, they should get the idea or try to call you back, which they didn't. So she finally got the hint when we was walking out the door, and we come back, and we ask her, does she have a size bigger? A size bigger. And she says, no, we have it at another store. Would you like to pay for it here and pick it up at the other store. I said, well, why am I going to do that? You should have it here. And so as I'm walking out, I'm really getting heated, and my son is going, it's okay. And I'm telling him, it's not okay. It's not okay to go somewhere where you're not getting treated with respect, regardless of what color you are. I need to get treated with respect because this is my money. This is how I'm spending my money. So that taught me a lesson with my son to definitely stay in him and let him know that nothing has changed in this world for a black man. We're always going to get treated like dirt no matter where we go. But if we're oblivious to it, then we don't see what's going on, then we accept that. I am not accepting that as a black man. I work hard for my money. I take care of my family, and I spend my money where I have service at. If I'm not getting any service, then I don't need to be at your store. And so that's it all in a nutshell. So that we walked out, and he says, well, I can't get the sneakers. I said, first of all, the sneakers are too tight for you. Why are you going to buy a pair of sneakers that are too tight? Why don't you get it an inch bigger so that way you have plenty of room to grow in it because you're still growing? But he insisted, well, I need them now. I said, you don't need them now. We will get them, but we're not going to get them now and at this Foot Locker right now. So I got into a tantrum myself, which he's 15, and I'm a grown man, and I'm trying to treat him as a man, but I have to realize that he's still a young man trying to figure out who I am and what I am about. And I talked to him later about it, and he kind of put a smile on his face. I told him I'm still getting you the sneakers, but I'm not going to pay my money somewhere where I'm not getting service, and that's what the whole thing boils down to. I need service. That's just it.
Well, I mean, one of the things, you know, and it's a little weird because I kind of am looking at it from two points of view. I'm looking at it from the mommy, you know, my mommy role, but I'm also looking at it from a point of, does it really matter? Like, does it matter that they... Well, I know it matters, so I want to be careful how I word it because I don't want the listeners to think it doesn't matter. But, like, how significant was it? Because she did end up acknowledging you.
Well, it was very significant, but the response shouldn't have been that long. There was no one in the store but my son and I at the time, and they're holding a conversation about cell phones. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
There's no one in the store, and you're holding a conversation about a cell phone. When a customer walks into a store, the customer pays these people salary. So if they don't understand that, then they have a problem with that. If I was working, I would make sure I treat my customers right because they put food on my table. They give me my money.
Well, I think you know what I think what was aggravating, just looking at it from an insider's perspective, was when he came in the house, he was like mad at you and not mad at the sales girl.
Because at the point, he's not understanding that because maybe it's me. I spent a lack of time with him, but I'm with him now every day, and I try to give him that so that way he can understand as a black man it's not okay to accept that. After I talked to him about the situation, he kind of understood it because when we walk out the house as a black man, we're not guaranteed to come back home. I mean, none of us are guaranteed to come back home, but we are a target. Just from our color, we are talking. We have to be intellectual to talk and to conversate with these people so they don't think that we're all dumb. We're not all dumb. We are very highly intelligent. And I wish some of our people would stop acting like they're not intelligent. We are the smartest there is on this earth. We built most of the majority of the things here on this earth. So why should we get treated lower than anybody else, which we do? A dog in the street gets more respect than a black man. That's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, all right, let's freak it this way. All right, now, you're saying, all right, we get treated worse. Well, people are only going to treat us the way we treat ourselves. And I think we've had this discussion, and we talked about it last night when we were on the Power of Gospel on 88.7 FM here in the New York City area, that if we don't treat ourselves with respect, how possibly can we ask others to treat us with respect? You see what I'm saying? And now here's a situation where Miles comes from a good home, me and you, doing what we're supposed to do, and he sees nothing wrong with it.
Because because of the little kids he's be around, they don't have no one teaching them morals like that. That's my son, and I tell him if anything was to happen to him in the street, how to approach a police officer. Yes, sir, no, sir. Put your hand where they can see you. These are things we got to train our young men as they're growing up. You don't go out in the street and tell an officer, F you and this, that, and that, and that. You throw your hands up. The first thing he's going to do is knock you in your head. But if you have a little common sense, he's going to think about it before he approaches you the wrong way because you have some intelligence about yourself. And that's where I'm getting at. I have to teach my sons this every day when they walk out this house. What's the thing you do before you go out of here? I tell them, think before you do anything. Always think first before you act with anything. And that stays in his head before he walks out the door. He understands that. You have to think before you do something. And that's me, myself, I'm going to teach my son, and I hope that the rest of our black man teach our son how to live on this earth because it's difficult for us. It's very difficult. And no, they see these things as material, but I've been there too as a kid, and I do understand that. And I do understand material things catches little kids. But when you train them to say, hey, listen, some of this stuff you can't get. It's not that I don't have the money, it's just that you don't need it. Everybody wants something, but we can't always get what we want. So I try to teach them that too. Everybody wants, and we can't get what we want, you know?
Well, first of all, for the record, I'm totally with you because I said if I was there, I would have cussed him out and then walked out the store. But, I mean, I think it's just sad because Foot Locker, at least all the ones that I've gone to, you know, in urban areas, they have very young, you know, people working there. They have, you know, maybe college students or high school students. Is it that they don't know any better, or is it that Foot Locker didn't train them? Like, what could it possibly be? Or is it that they just don't care about black people?
Well, it's all the above. I mean, where they come from, they're not trained. They're not training them. And with the home training comes from home. When you meet somebody, you say, how you doing? With respect. But I guess when they train at home and they look at a black person, don't give them no respect. Why is that? I didn't go in there and argue with the lady. I had some sense and some intelligence about myself, and I told her, no, I will not buy anything from your store. But see, if I was flipping around in my old time, I would have gave her a nice cursing out. But then you know what that shows me? As being ignorant. I know how to deal with that now. That's what I'm trying to teach my son as he's getting older, that you have to respond differently. You have to respond with some intelligence because they think that we're all dumb. We're all not dumb. We are highly intelligent.
You know what? Something just came to my mind as I was hearing you speak, and everybody, I just want to thank you all for listening and just peeking into my world every day. Remember when, y'all know my oldest son graduated high school on June 20th, and I think what I'm getting ready to share relates to today's topic so well. Remember, first of all, everybody, let me bring y'all into the conversation. When my son graduated, you know, all the families took their kids out to eat or whatever, and we were going to Fridays, and, you know, my son's texting all his friends, and his best friend was going to Applebee's, so we met his best friend and his best friend's parents at Applebee's, and, you know, they're our neighbor, they live on the same street, and we have a really good working relationship. You know, my son's, Daquan's friend, his parents were teenage parents, too, so they, you know, kind of relate to how I have raised Daquan, and they are just really cool, really fly, and they're married, and they're doing, you know, just trying to do what we're all trying to do, raise our kids, whatever, whatever. So we get to Applebee's. Now, we sat all the kids at one table. They had three kids. We had two, and then the four adults sat at the table right next to them, which was fine. So now we eat or whatever, and we said specifically it's two separate checks. I said they have three kids and two adults, and we have two kids and two adults. And the waitress was like, you know, no problem or whatever. So they, you know, they serve our food, bring us the food, whatever, whatever, and then they bring the bill, and then they tack on an 18% service charge to both checks. Now, since it's already broken into two checks, and I could be wrong, and I stand to be corrected. If I'm wrong, hit me up in the chat room and let me know. But they put 18% on their check for five people, and then they put an 18%, gratuity on our check for four people. And so we questioned it because the bill was, you know, it was a decent-sized bill. We all ate, drank, you know, celebrating graduation, whatever, whatever. And she's like, well, any party, eight and more, we have to charge 18%. I said, well, here's the situation. We have two different tables with two different families. What if, in fact, their family sat at one table and my family sat at another and we just happen to know each other? Would you rightfully stick an 18% gratuity on both checks? And she said no. I said, well, why do we both have to pay an 18% gratuity? We told you it's two separate checks at two separate tables. So I said, if in fact that's the case, my husband and my children and I would have sat at one table, they would have sat at another table, and then once we placed the order, we just all would have switched seats. And so, you know, my husband and the kid's father was like, yo, you know, we need to speak to somebody about this because we specifically said it's two tables, two different checks, whatever, whatever. The manager comes over to the table. Remember what happened, son? She starts talking, and then she's like, well, I don't want to have to call the police.
What? What, for talking with intentions?
We flipped out. Because at that point, you know, I played my position. I didn't say anything. I let the two men speak respectfully. You know, the lady came over, so now it's one lady against two black men. And I don't know if she felt like she was being double teamed or whatever, but when she said, I don't want to have to call the cops or call the police, that's when I had to open my mouth. Because I was like, what does the police have to do with this? Let me tell everybody who's listening, I swear we did not raise our voice. We were not loud. We were celebratory, but it was funny because the kids sat at their own table. So, you know, you have two high school graduates. They're chilling. They're trying to get us to buy them a drink and trying to check out all the other, you know, their friends or whatever that are in the restaurant. So their table was just, you know, two teenage boys, you know, starting life. And our table was real quiet because it's just four of us just happy we got our kids out of high school. So I don't even know what she would think. How she would even think we were rowdy. On top of that, we were all relatively dressed up. Like, I just don't even understand how she could even fathom that we were loud and rowdy people. And when she said, well, I don't want to have to call the police, that's when I was like, okay, hold up. Like, you don't have to, you know, even bring the police into it. And son, tell us what happened after that. Because that bugged me out.
You know, we sat there. And it bugged me out. I'm like, miss, what's your problem calling the police? I didn't yell at you. I didn't threaten you at all. I mean, this is how you treat all your fellow people. I mean, come on. I mean, we in here, you're charging us an 18% gratuity charge, and we told you when we walked in there that we're paying it separate. We have two separate tables, so why am I getting charged that? I told her I refuse to pay it. I'm going to pay the bill, but I'm not going to pay that 18%. And, you know, we told the waitress when she came over to the table to we're not going to pay this for that. And, you know, she insisted that we take care of that. I'm like, miss, we told you that before we came in there. So the thing is, they think that we're stupid, that we don't look at our bills. We just pay for everything and don't check everything. Well, myself and my wife and I, we check everything because people throw these little numbers in there, and, you know, on a hide to hide it from you if you don't check your bill. But, you know, it's sad that we got to get treated like that every single time we go someplace to conduct some business. Sad, you know, very sad.
Well, I was actually getting a glass of water, and I came back in to the studio, and I'm seeing all this activity in the chat room. First of all, let me read what some of this stuff says. Well, they wanted us to buy the stuff at Foot Locker, so they get the credit. TrueView Radio said that I had an incident yesterday at the airport, and I demanded the police give me respect because I was not being disrespectful. I have a whole story about airports, and I'll get into that in a second. Driving C Radio, hello. I missed your show, but I'm going to listen to it today. Now you see where I was Saturday morning at 11 o'clock dealing with this Foot Locker issue. So that's why I missed your show Saturday morning. Everybody knows Drop and See Radio show comes on Saturdays at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. TrueView said, unfortunately, clothing does not make a difference these days. Well, thank God my son, Miles, wears a uniform to school. So we were just getting him footwear, which is really the only reason we were actually going to spend like $85 on a pair of sneakers, which I didn't want to mention the price, but I'll tell you, just because he does wear a uniform. So we just bought him three pair of pants, a couple uniform shirts, and that really doesn't cost a lot of money. Like, the uniform pants were, I think, like $10.99 or $11.99. So, you get new socks, new underwear, uniform pants, uniform shirts. So, you know, we had some extra money, and we splurged and let him get, you know, fancy sneakers, and we actually had gotten him two pair. But so that's the only reason we were kind of going overboard on the sneakers. But anyway, getting back to that whole Applebee's situation, I can laugh now, but I was so pissed because she's like, don't make me have to call the police. And I'm like, lady, where is this coming from? This is coming totally out of left field. So anyway, but now I want to talk about one more thing. Well, it says, Trueview says, hey, family, I would not go back and support them. I have not, and I want to share something else about that specifically about Applebee's. Where we were was where we live, the town where we used to live, a very middle-class town. It's Clifton, New Jersey, and I'll share it now because I don't live there anymore. But, you know, there's other more urban areas, Patterson, Passaic, Jersey City, you know, just North Jersey is just an expensive area altogether. But we all have our hoods and everything. Well, further on in the conversation with Applebee's, she started crying after I finished speaking to her. And I swear to everybody, I did not raise my voice. I was firm, but I was really mellow because y'all know I'm a Christian, so I can't curse her out like I wanted to. But anyway, you know what she said to me? Well, I'm new to this store, and I came here from Jersey City, and they're like a little rough in Jersey City. And I was even more offended by that because I raised my kids in Jersey City before we moved to Atlanta. Jersey City, yeah, we have a hood in Jersey City, but Jersey City is literally the city that you drive into when you come out of New York City, out of the Holland Tunnel. Like, when you pull out of the Holland Tunnel, you are literally in Jersey City. They've got Donald Trump has all these condos. Newport Plaza overlooks the New York City skyline. To rent, it's like $2,000 and $3,000 a month. So just like her comments, dare I say she was racist, I don't know, but I just found it pretty ironic that she was like, oh, well, you know, I just came to this store, and I came from Jersey City, so I told her, I said, well, let me let you know, you're in Clifton, New Jersey now, and black people in Clifton don't get down like that. And it's not even whether it's black people or Clifton or Jersey City, it's like, how obnoxious of you to even think that you have to call the police, and we're here celebrating my son's graduation, you loser. But anyway, I haven't gone back to Applebee's.
You know what, too? That's the same saying again, that no matter how where we go, we still get treated the same. You know? We still get treated the same. We stepped out of a zone, going to another zone, and she stepped out of a zone and went to another zone and still had the same conscious thought about us blacks.
Well, yeah, and Trueview Radio says, what does that have to do with anything? She is the manager and should act accordingly. Well, I totally agree. I totally agree. But you know what? There's so much I want to talk to you guys about. But this is why I say it is collectively our problem when our young men are hanging on the corners. It becomes our problem because what happens is it brings down everybody else that's trying to do a good thing, and the people that do have a little bit of means now start to distance themselves from those types, quote-unquote, types of people, and then that makes us look bougie, it makes us look snobby, but we're just trying to distance ourselves from ignorance. But that's why I refuse to turn my back on people that don't know. I don't know what other people do. I cannot turn my back on brothers standing on a corner or sisters dressed a certain way. Because if I don't help you, and I'm not trying to be a savior, but I believe to a certain degree that is my responsibility to go back and share with these people, hey, listen, you know, let's try to pull ourselves up. I remember when I was commuting into work into New York City one day, these two girls got on the bus. They were taking the bus to high school. This was in the spring. And they were cursing up a storm. And I was it was like 7 o'clock in the morning. So just when one of them was getting off the bus, it was really one that was doing all the cursing and loud talk. But when they were getting off the bus, I touched her, and she looked at me, and I said, you know what, sweetheart? I said, you are too beautiful to talk like that. And she looked at me. I said, honestly, I said, you are so beautiful, but that language it's not becoming at all. You know what she did? She said, thank you, and got off the bus. And every time after that I saw that girl, she always spoke to me. Now, I can't say that she stopped talking that way, but at 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever time it was I was going to work, I just felt compelled to tell her, sweetie, you are too pretty to talk like that. Like, you're so much better than that. And I tell you, son, she lived on Burgess Place, too. Every time I saw her, she always said hi. So, I mean, you know, I do think we can make a difference. I do. Oh, wait a minute. Dropping C said maybe the only black people she saw was on Soul Plane. You got a lot of jokes. At least I try to be balanced. I was just so happy that my husband is online. But can I say one thing about the airport? And I know I'm just talking so much because y'all know last week I did rebroadcast most of the week. But we had some staff changes. I'll get into that before we get off the air because I did have some staff changes. But I just want to touch on the airport situation. TrueView Radio said, where is it? I demanded the police give me respect, give me my respect because I was not being disrespectful. I think I'm on like a watch list or something because every time I travel, I always get like a full body search. Like not just so much they run me through the luggage, but I mean they literally check everything. And one time I was so incensed. I went to do a book signing. I think I was going to Ohio or North Carolina or something. And I had one of those wheelie bags, you know, the ones that everybody carries. There was nothing in it but my books. And, you know, stuff for me to do my book signing and my signs. But it was mostly books. They did the whole search. They're unpacking, they're pulling, and then they left my stuff right there. I was like, hello, can you at least put my stuff neatly? And I was getting ready to get angry and nasty. And I remembered, Saida, if you don't shut your mouth, they could haul you over somewhere into some little corner, never to be seen again. You know, there's my imagination running wild. And I'll miss the book signing, I'll make my client angry, and I'll be in big trouble. But it was just like, at what point, or how do we start getting respect back? Son, how do we do that?
We got to respect ourselves first. That's what we got to do. We got to respect ourselves. We got to know that we're living in a different country other than our own country. So we got to adapt to their rules, but play the game with them. That's the thing we don't do. We don't play the game with them. We got to learn how to use them and make it work for us. That's what we have to do. That's the whole thing in my nutshell. My opinion is we have to work the game how they work it. You know?
Well, okay. Now let's switch gears because you know where I'm going. And this was really like not even planned this way. You said you have to play the game. Is that what you said?
Yeah, this is a game. There's always a game. There's rules to it too.
Okay. Let's talk about Mr. Obama. Let's pull Mr. Barack into this. Let me bring everybody up to speed. I have so much to share. I'm just going to keep talking. I love everybody. Thank you for listening. But last night on the air, we talked about, and I said this at the top of the show, about Sarah Palin. And then we got into Barack. And this is what I said, and I hope y'all don't tear me to shreds. I said I'm very frustrated that everybody is putting all of their hope into Obama, making these pilgrimages all over the country to see him, but yet they won't even go to a local school board meeting. They won't even go to their local city council meeting. They won't even go to a PTA meeting. But yet everybody's traipsing around the country following behind Barack Obama. That was the premise. Now this is what I said. I said I do not believe Barack Obama is going to change anything. And they ripped my head off. But I said because the president is really like a talking head or like a figure, and what change can he possibly make as one person if you don't have all the other branches of the government with them? And my co-host said, well, he's inspiring to people. Is that really enough just to inspire people?
Not really to me. You gotta think too. I mean, we have to use our brain. We can't just go by what somebody says. Do some research on him. See what he says. He says nothing about our people at all. There's nothing being said about our people. I mean, what he's gonna do for us. I mean, that's my opinion on it too. You have to really look and open your eyes. Yes, a black president. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I can deal with that too. But what is he talking about for us? He's talking nothing. I've never heard anything said about the black community. Nothing
at all. I want to put this out to those in the chat room. I have to everybody that's chatting with me, and here it is. Barack Obama. Okay, let me backtrack. Hillary Clinton spoke directly to women. Sarah Palin is speaking directly to evangelicals, as well as women Republicans.
Also the NRA.
And the NRA, exactly. Barack Obama, I don't believe, and I stand to be corrected. You guys know I stand to be corrected. Especially in his acceptance speech, I don't feel spoke directly to black people. Now, this is what we said last night, and this is what Nicole said, and we'll get Nicole on the show one day too. She said he can't go up on a national platform talking to black people because then white people won't vote for him and then he won't get in. But I said Hillary Clinton speaking directly to women, Sarah Palin is speaking directly to her constituents, why can't he speak directly to his? Can y'all help me out on that one? Okay, he cannot make it one-sided, true, you said. No, but it's the representation. Right, but here's what I'm saying. Hillary Clinton got women's votes because she spoke directly to women. Barack Obama is not speaking directly to black people, but yet expects 90% of us to vote for him. How is that possible? Is it black people are so blindly traipsing behind Barack Obama without him even addressing us by name? Okay, wait a minute. He did not. Okay, Trueview says he did not, but he's speaking to the masses. Dropping Seed Radio said, like your husband said, it's a game. Right, and that's what made me say I prefer someone speaking to the masses as opposed to segregating. All right, I hear what you're saying, but let's look at it this way. This is where my argument rests with Barack Obama. He wants black people to vote for him, but I don't feel he's acknowledged us. And maybe I'm missing something, and maybe something is going over my head. But Hillary Clinton spoke to women. When she spoke to her constituents, they voted for her in record numbers. Sarah Palin is speaking directly to the Republican base. So now they are coming out in large numbers supporting her. Barack Obama has the support of black people, and he has not even said squat to black issues. And where was he with Jenna Six? Where was he with Sean Bell here in New York? Where was he with that young man from Georgia? Oh, gosh, his name is escaping me. The one who went to jail, Janarla Wilson, for having oral sex with this or engaging in intercourse with this girl who was white in Georgia. Where was he on all of these issues? Okay, the chat room is lighting up. It says, I prefer most blacks don't vote. He may not speak in words, but check his policies. It's new now for women, maybe not as prevalent in the future. Blue 33, welcome to the chat room, Blue 33 says, Obama is hero, Trueview says Hillary. But here's what I'm saying, and I'm a registered independent, and I'll put it out there, but I'm just saying all the other candidates speak directly into the hearts and minds of their constituents, and he has not. And let me say something else. Dropping Seed said he may not speak it in words, but check his policies. I agree to that. But Trueview said most blacks don't vote. So is he saying I'm not even going to risk my chance of election speaking to these black people because I know they're going to vote for me anyway? Son, you still there?
I'm just listening. I mean, we should get out there. We have a right, and we have a right to do all these things, and we just let it slip by us. And then we wonder why nothing gets done in our neighborhood because we don't take the initiative to do these things. You know, once we lose it, we get incarcerated. We lose our right to vote, our right to do anything on this earth. So, I mean, we really have to watch what we do. We really have to play this game, and we're not playing the game. We're losing to this game. We have to sit back and really think and put our thoughts together and say, you know, we got to stop doing what we're doing, and we can become a strong nation. And we're not. I mean, everyone else helps one another but us. I mean, it's a sad situation. We're the ones that buy everything. We keep this economy flowing.
Because we spend every penny that we make. We don't save jack.
No, we don't save jack. And no one tells us how to save. We have to learn the hard way. I mean, we all have to come together and say, hey, we got to put our money and pool together where we can put things happening too. It's sad for us. I mean, we have to really get together or do something. You know, maybe we're looking for a hero, but the hero lies within ourselves.
Let me cut you off real quick. It says, Trueview says, well, Blue 33 said McCain is a racist, though, and he said it twice. I'm just reading because there's so much activity. Okay, Latinos have come up and account for more than blacks. Oh, let me add something to that. Okay, let me take us back a minute. So yesterday we took my son out for sneakers, to get the sneakers, and we drove to a different Foot Locker. The Foot Locker that we drove to is in a very Hispanic area, and we don't know the area that well. This incensed me. It inflamed me because we had to drive down this street called Bergen Line Avenue. We drove down, we accidentally turned on Bergen Line on like 55th Street, and Foot Locker was on 37th. So we just drove down Bergen Line Avenue, so we were going to find a Foot Locker. From 55th Street down to 37th Street, I swear to you all, there was Hispanic travel agencies, bodegas, stores, bars, liquor stores, clothing stores. Every store was Hispanic. They had this, and some of them had the signs outside in Spanish. So that's telling you right there that it's like Hispanic owned and operated or whatever. So basically what you're saying, Latinos have come up. There's not even like an area except in downtown Newark, New Jersey, where it's like mostly black stores. Here we were for like over 20 blocks, nothing but Hispanic stores. We have nothing. When is Obama going to speak to black economics? Or is that something that we have to do on our own?
Well, we both have to do that on our own, too. We have to do what we have to do. It's a game. We have to play the game. We got to do research, and most of us don't do research. You know, we lack the research. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay to walk out here every day and get treated the same way every day you walk out your house. And I'm a decent man. I don't start no problems. But I get treated very, you know, it's hard. You know, I mean, everyone's my guarantee to come home. But as a black man, it's tough. It's tough. When my sons go to school, I pray that they come home. And I pray that all my family and my brothers come home. My sisters. It's hard being living here and being black. It's very hard. And we have to really put our thoughts together and stop blind, depending on these materialistic things, and start depending on our future. You know, our future with our kids is first. We can't let them see us buying these nonsense with material. We got to set a tone for them, say, hey, put some money away, save this, do this, think about it before you buy. Do you really need it? Really going to benefit you? You got to learn how to teach your kids those things to require a lifestyle, you know, that they want to live. I mean, I'm very frustrated with this, as you can tell the way I'm speaking. My wife always says that, you know, speak it out, because I am, and it's sad. I mean, I see young brothers on the block, and I'm not scared to walk by my brothers. I should never be scared to walk by one of my brothers. If I see them doing wrong, I will correct them in a decent way with respect. Hey, young man, you shouldn't be doing that. You know better than that. You know what they do? They laugh, say, you know what, mister, you're right. I don't go over there and say, you better stop that for this. No, I approach them how they want to get, like they should get approached with respect. And that's what we don't give them, respect. Everyone needs respect, no matter how old you are. And that's what the point is. You need respect, everybody. You know, it's frustrating to me. And my wife knows that.
I'm just so happy that you're on the air with me. Hopefully we can get him on at least once a week, because my husband has so much to say, and a lot of what you hear me say on the air comes from our discussions. But this is hilarious. I just want to say, Blue33, thank you for joining us. You are making the show so lively today. Blue33 says we should paint the White House black, and I want reparations.
Yeah, pretty much. I agree with that, Blue.
And I'm not laughing to say at your. I'm just saying it's like we should paint the White House black, and then what are we going to do, start serving chicken? That was a little salacious. I mean, I'm just being sarcastic right now. But I'm voting for Obama, so just so y'all know. TrueView says big things are going on in Atlanta. Why? Because in some areas they are setting the pace. Would you agree, Si? Oh, my God, absolutely. Let me tell you, when we moved to Atlanta, we got run out of Atlanta because my husband and I went down there with that New York rah-rah attitude, like, yo, we taking over, son. You know, that's just arrogant. If y'all knew me years ago, you would be like, oh, she's not nice. I was really arrogant and not nice. I'm so much nicer now. But when I moved to Atlanta, you know, I have never seen business done and run by black people in my life. And I say that really, y'all know I'm so honest. I've never seen black people, like, run businesses and stuff. Because in New York, everything is run by, like, Jewish people or run by the media. You know, sure, black people may have high-powered jobs or whatever, but you don't really see it. Like, everything in New York is so fast-paced. And here's another thing, too. Like, I remember telling my friend from Detroit, none of my friends that are my age own their own home. And she's like, well, all my friends in Detroit own their own home. I said, yeah, that's because a decent home in this area is $1 million. I know people that make old couples making $100,000, $150,000, and they still don't have any money. So when I went to Atlanta and I saw black people with their own businesses and owning their own homes, I got scared. I thought it was like a shiesty thing or a hustle or they drank some special Kool-Aid because it was such a culture shock for me. But then the beauty of it is that when I moved back to New York a couple of years ago, I started operating a lot more based on the principles and tenets and lifestyle of AT aliens than New Yorkers because their life is so much better than ours up here. Everybody's like, I want to come to New York, I want to come to New York. Let me tell you, New York has no quality of life compared to living elsewhere in the country. Y'all may think it's crazy because New York is New York. When I tell people my high school didn't even have a football team, they're like, you didn't have a football team? I'm like, no, where are we going to play? In the middle of 8th Avenue or something? It's just no quality of life. And when I look at the culture and the lives of black people, it is so much richer, not financially, but so much richer in totality than living in this New York area. Oh, wait a minute. Dropping Seeds had come to Nashville. Our people are coming up here, too. I don't want Obama to get assassinated. Oh, he's not going to get assassinated. I believe Obama is a talking head for a much larger organization. He's so well protected, nothing's going to happen to him. That's just my two pennies. I think that's the least of our worries with Obama. He's not going to get assassinated. There's too many business deals and too many contingencies, I believe, resting on Obama. For them to let something happen to him. I don't think so. I don't think so. TrueView Radio says, I agree. Are you agreeing about Nashville or are you agreeing about what I said? Oh, duh, I'm waiting for a response as if he's going to respond back. You know what, I feel like we're all together in one. We need to have a Life Remix conference or something where we all get together and we can meet each other. Son, are you still there? Because we're down to the last couple of minutes of the show, and I'm not going to rush us through our prayer.
Yes, I'm here. I'm just, like I said, I'm just frustrated. And yes, man, yes, I want to make some political moves myself with my kids and with my brothers and sisters. I mean, if they don't know, we don't down them because they don't know. We have to teach them. And that's why we have, everyone has a gift in life. You know, some may talk to the young people. Some may have a gift in music, whatever, with the young people. But we have to make our young people see that the material things are not, the material things are just material things. You got to teach them how to live and how to do it the right way so that they can continue living and continue to teach their kids. So we got to teach them morals and respect, to respect themselves first. And that's what I'm getting at. If you don't respect yourself, then how do you expect somebody else to respect you? You know, I mean, you have to do that.
I think that has a lot to do with it, that it has to do with the respect. And this is what I am hoping. Blue 33, I'm going to comment. I don't think Bush hates black people. I think Bush hates poor people. I don't think it's that he doesn't like black people. I think Bush just doesn't like people whose money doesn't look like his. But anyway, what I was going to say is about the whole respect thing. This is what it basically boils down to. We cannot command respect from other people to us if we don't respect ourselves. And this is the example that I always use. If we see, and we have a very heavy Islamic, I don't know how do you call it, like a population in this area. And there's some towns where like the whole town is like Muslim, like Paterson, New Jersey is like that. But anyway, like very large immigrant community, so that I'm using my words politically correctly or whatever. But anyway, if you see a Muslim woman in her hijab covered, or even if you see a church woman, let's take a church woman even, but a Muslim woman for the sake of this conversation, and a brother sees her walking down the street, what is he going to do? Maybe speak, put his head down, move over to the side so she can get through. Those are the things that I think, I'm not a guy, but I think a guy would do. However, if you see a chick with booty shorts, you're going to be like, oh, mommy, you look cute or whatever. Look how the, and it could be the same guy. It's the exact same guy. But the Muslim woman or the woman coming out of church or the woman, we have a very large Hasidic Jewish community where I live also, where the woman, their heads are covered and they have the long skirts. They might have on a regular shirt, but the skirts are long where you can't even see the ankles. So I think there's a common denominator between the Islamic women, the Christian women, and the Hasidic Jewish or Orthodox Jewish women, where they believe in covering, no matter what degree it is. So men will treat them differently. But then you take the woman who's got the booty shorts, the booty sticking out, the tatas hanging out, and all of this, and then you're mad because we're not getting respect. If we don't respect ourselves first, men and women, we're never going to get respected by other races. It's never going to happen, hands down.
Right, and I think a woman shouldn't be showing off her cookies anyway. They wonder why women get raped and why, you know, it's okay to have a nice body, but that body is set for one person only. You should respect it for that person. That's not to show everybody. That's my opinion. I mean, if a woman is covered up in three-fourths of clothing, you can't do nothing. But it makes you wonder, she has respect for herself. You know, you wouldn't look at her differently.
Right.
You wouldn't think nothing out of norm to her. But as a man, you see a girl in some cut-up shorts, you're going to take a double look. You're going to say, wow. I mean, then you ask yourself, some men have daughters, and you say, I'm looking at this. Well, I got to straighten up my daughter, so I don't want my daughter coming out looking like this. We have to start from the house, from the home. We have to do it. I mean, women come out there, they want to be noticed. All women want to be noticed. I know that. They like to show off their stuff. But when they show it off in a way that's disrespectful, when a man approaches them in a disrespectful manner, she gets upset about it. Why should she get upset? Well, miss, if you haven't come out the house that way, then I couldn't have. You understand what I'm saying? But you
yeah.
come out the house and you get respect. And even that goes with, it goes vice versa. You know, you respect yourself, people got to respect you. You know, you can't take no shorts on that. I'm not taking no shorts. I need my respect. If I give you respect, my father gives me respect, and I am not going to let any man on this earth disrespect me but him. So that's how I'm feeling that. You know, there's no man going to come up to me and disrespect me as a man. My own dad don't disrespect me, and I respect him to the utmost. So it means you have to really...
Son, I have to cut you off real quick. I just want to say something to Blue33 in the chat room. Thank you so much for joining us. But for you to put a statement, I love hoes, this is definitely not the show for you. I want you to come to our show. I want you to feel loved. This is a show where we love God, but we never shove God down your throat. But I just want to, you know, that's your opinion, and I think it's everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But as a woman hosting the show, for you to say I love hoes, I don't think that's appropriate. So you're more than welcome to listen to the show. You're more than welcome to engage in our conversation in the chat room. But this is where I shut conversations like that down because I can't have that on my show. So thank you for joining us, and I hope you come back. But just I can't allow that type of engagement to take place during the show. So on that note, it's actually almost time to wind the show down. And I want to share with everybody, because I know you're like, okay, Saida, what's going on? Last week we heard reruns. The week before you were getting your son registered for school. My executive producer, Shamika, who y'all know I talk about all the time, she moved. And Shamika really was the one making sure this show happened the way it was supposed to happen. I put a lot of energy and effort and love into nurturing the relationship, but with her move, it was just a bit much for her to juggle the demands of the show and a move and her family. So she is no longer the executive producer of the show, but now she's a consultant of the show. So right now I am aggressively looking for a talent booker and a producer for the show. So if you know of anybody that can help me produce the show and help me book talent for the show, feel free to shoot me an email or send me a message. But just know that's what was going on with the show. So Shamika is now a consultant to the show. She has not left. She's still very part of the Life Remix Radio family. But she just is moving, and just a lot of changes are taking place in her life, and I just want her to know, I hope she's listening, Shamika, we love you, love you, love you, love you, love you, and to thank you for Dee Dee, who's the publicist for the show, and Dewan, who is the engineer for the show, thank you two for all of your support, because I don't take lightly the ability to bring you guys a very informed and enlightened show with very, very spirited debates. I want us to engage, and really, I want us to rethink everything we know about everything we know. Oh, to TrueView, handling your business is good. We'll be patient. I understand. Thank you. but we're fully live now for the fall. Last week, we were able to put a couple of shows and put some things in the can, so that way you have a fresh and engaging show 5 days a week live at 12 noon. Oh, blessings to her and your staff. Thank you, Dropping Seed, and I'll let Shamika know. Yeah, but it was crazy just because, y'all know, Miles was starting school. I had to get him registered, and then if it wasn't that thing, it was something. And then I'm like, oh, my God. So this is me multitasking, but this is just to speak to Sarah Palin. Y'all see, I'm trying to juggle my career and this show and my family, and it's tough. Imagine trying to juggle five kids and being the vice president of the country. Like, I don't know, and I'm a woman. Last thing, Blue 33, but I like women, though. I'm glad you like women. That's no problem. All I'm saying is that we just don't talk like that on this show. That's all. I want you to come back, and I hope you're on the show with us again tomorrow, because I really want you to come back, and thank you for listening, but just we just don't talk like that. So that's how that goes. I want to give an extra special thank you to my husband, who joined me on the air today. Thank you, son. Oh, everybody, you keep hearing me call him son. He's a junior, and his father calls him son, so I just call him son, too. So if you're ever wondering where son comes from or why, that's where it is. To TrueView, this is this show is growing. It really, really is. So thank you all for listening. Y'all know I really love you for listening and appreciate you for listening. And just know that the light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is. And wherever you are, God is. Thank you all for listening, and I'll check everybody out tomorrow at 12 noon. Peace.